Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, 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 pray. I want to pray for anyone who is struggling with impurity in their life, whether it's pornography, whether you are in an impure relationship with somebody else, heterosexually or homosexually, whatever it is. You know, let's pray for that virtue of chastity. That's really what we need, right? We got to be chaste, whatever our state is. There's a power in that. So often we've heard from exorcists and others who talk about how pornography can be a crack or an opening, a portal for other type of oppressive spirits. I want to pray for anyone who has opened that door through the occult, through sexual misuse, whatever it may be. And for liberation and freedom, for wisdom in dealing with loved ones, for the graces that we need to grow in holiness and to pass this great test of life. Like, I want to pray for a couple people. My friend Yaya, I got to reach out to her. I've been praying for her every day. She really put the put the onus on me. She's like, hey, you said you're going to pray. Make sure you pray. I need you to pray. So, you know, I often say when you make those promises, you really have to honor them. And I want you to know how much I pray for you. I pray for you every day. You are in every time, all the time I spend with the Lord, you're always brought up. So know that I'm praying for you. Pray for me. I could certainly use your prayers. But yeah, I'm praying for you. And I pray for anyone facing legal challenges, lawsuits, who really need the mercy of God. And I just pray that her situation be resolved in a very merciful way. I want to pray for, I guess I could say Peter Grand. Did you know him? He's on the show with us, I think, every first and third week of the month. He's known as a former Wall Street whiz kid. Peter has been going through, and he writes to me, he says, Drew, I'm going through hell, is what he said to me. Literally. It's one of the most difficult bouts of one of the most difficult trials of his life. And I won't go into the details of what he's going through, but Peter reached out for prayer. He knows how powerful your prayers are and how powerful we are when we're combined. And he's just asking you to remember him as well. So if you have a prayer list, jot his name down, okay? This man's in torment. He really is in torment. It's a difficult thing. And when you're healthy, when you're not in the storm, it's hard to really, sometimes hard to really relate to what somebody else is going through. So I want to do that. There was one woman who's written to me, and I have not gotten to her prayer intention, and it has been floating around on my list here forever. So I'm just going to bring it forward. And then Maggie, if you have anything you want to share, this woman's byline to me was simply feeling hopeless. And that's horrible, isn't it? It's just so sad when you lose hope. She says, I can't take it anymore. I've had surgeries that didn't work out well. Spinal surgeries, I was told I am fused from C2 to C4, but there's been so much nerve pain right now. My head's burning. I've got nerve pain. Sometimes, Drew, I think I would be better off dead. I just need to know that part of the country, you know, is praying, and I'm asking that, you know, I get the wisdom to know what doctor to deal with. The doctors will know how to treat me. I am sick to my stomach, and I do pray. I pray for souls, but this is a really despairing situation. Going to the emergency room doesn't help me. I'm just praying, please, God, help me, you know, help me find a surgeon or some relief from this situation. She goes, my head is on fire now as I write. Would you please ask Jesus, Mary, and Joseph for the discernment I need and a way out? Also, please pray for my husband, that he'll help work this out with me. And I'm sure it's difficult on a relationship when you're in chronic pain like that, but she just is feeling hopeless. And I know that happens to us. I was listening to somebody today talk about hope. God's time is not our time, right? It really isn't. And you are called to hope, to stand on the word of God, to believe in the promises that Jesus gave us, that he works all things for the good. We may not know that. And when we lose hope, when we begin to despair, that's when suicidal ideation takes place. That's when depression takes place. That's when we let darkness enter in. That's where spiritual blindness happens. Our heart gets hardened. Our mind gets dimmed. You got to be a people of hope. Know and stand on the promises of Scripture and the promises that our Lord gave to St. Faustina through this prayer. Prayers are heard. God hears your prayers, and he hears in a particular way the cry of the suffering. So if you are suffering right now, know in a special way your cries, your prayers, your voice is reaching the ear of God, and he is love and mercy itself. Put your trust in that. Be patient. I'm telling you, God will prevail. Maggie, what do you want to pray for today?
I want to lift up Father Philip and anyone that's involved in his Encourage and the Courage ministry. We just had him on. God bless them for what they're doing. And I also want to lift up, one of my brothers has an important business meeting today at 3 p.m. For a project that they've been working on for months, and just praying that it goes well and that they can move forward.
That's a great time. Mm-hmm. Great time to meet. The Hour of Mercy, right? 3 p.m. All right, we'll go to the phones and grab your calls, too. If for some reason you don't get through, because the phone lines do fill up pretty quickly, Maggie will bring your intention to air. Just simply go to our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. You might even be able to go to relevantradio.com, the Drew Mariani Show. I think you can go there and post them, too, right, Maggie? I think you can tap into Twitter there. If you, I don't have Twitter, Drew. Relevantradio.com. Do a search for the Drew Mariani Show. And I... open your mic. Will you show them how they can do that, Meg? Will you see that?
The last time, it's been a while since I went on the website. It does bring up a prayer form at the bottom of the page, I believe. Let me make sure. Yeah.
Relevantradio.com/pray, I think Patrick's saying. But I think our Twitter page is there, and you can put your intentions. If not, it's at Drew Mariani Show.
They removed it from our page. That was for your pilgrimage. I think they've taken it down now.
Oh, is there a pilgrimage ad up there?
There is an ad that says Eucharistic Revival. Your face is on an Italian flag.
I haven't seen it either. I'll have to check that out at the break. That's so funny. Irrelevant Radio, at Relevant, what do I say? At Drew Mariani Show. Maggie, move your screen. Let me see it. She's going to flip her screen around. Oh my gosh. That is a horrible picture of me. Not that one. The one up there with the no, it doesn't matter. Oh, Lord have mercy. Give me humility, right? I better not pray that. That's a dangerous.
You're gonna get it.
That is a dangerous prayer. That is a very dangerous prayer. That's the most difficult prayer I ever prayed in my life.
The litany of humility.
Yeah. If you really want to pray something that is hard, try the litany of humility. I mean, it's so difficult. Lord have mercy. It's a tough prayer. Check it out. Maybe we should link over to it so people could check it out on our Twitter. But we'll pray now. Let's just pray. The Lord loves us. He loves our humor. He loves our foibles. You know, he'll give you the grace to grow in perfection. That's what I want to pray for. I want to pray for that virtue to grow in holiness. And I want to pray for you now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. No font of life, unfathomable divine mercy. Envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Chandler, Arizona. Lisa, thank you for calling in. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for the phone call. I just, like, this weekend is the most terrifying weekend of my life because my husband abandoned me, Charles, after 26 years, and he has a stony heart. Just that he says he loves me, but not in love with me. So I have peace that the marriage is going to end, but I just hope that Blessed Mother will somehow touch his heart and that material things and movies and DVDs is not of this world. It's a material thing, and living with and abandoning me for to live with his mother is a wrong thing. It's a grave sin. So I pray for conversion for him for one day, and I pray for conversion from Brother Joe who took me in so I have a home to live, and I pray for that he comes back to the Catholic faith because the Eucharist is Jesus, because he says he takes communion at his church, but he does not realize it's not a symbol that Jesus is the Lord. And I told him about Saint Anthony and the donkey, that the miracle is that donkey bow down to the Eucharist. So someday, our Blessed Mother said to be patient. So I'm going to be patient.
Let me ask you a quick question here, if I could. Have you and your husband had any counseling? Have you talked to anybody about the problems?
Oh, no, because my mother-in-law refuses during the divorce that we can't communicate. So that's what she wants him totally to himself. So she's selfish.
Okay.
So she wants this to happen so he could take care of each other.
Right. And I believe you. I mean, there may be some very dysfunctional relationships that are out there, but let's pray for you now, Lisa. My advice to you, if you were to take it, really seek some counsel. You know, don't sign the divorce. And if I believe you had a valid marriage. I mean, try to get the help that you need and that your husband needs. And let's pray right now for it. I know so often when divorce takes place, when there's division, hearts are cold, people don't feel in love, finances get involved, it gets ugly, mean, there's deep hurts. I want to pray for anyone right now who has been wounded in their relationship, who's been betrayed, who is suffering the deep wounds of that betrayal right now, where there's a spirit of anger and division and even hatred. But I know you can heal all things. You've raised from the dead. You can certainly resurrect marriages. And I just ask that you relight that flame of love in her husband's heart, in her heart, just to bring the healing that they need. And I just trust this to you. I pray for all troubled marriages, all broken relationships between family members, between friends, between colleagues. You know, just bring these to the foot of your cross. And I ask that you cover them in your precious blood as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Thank you. Maggie just told me, and this is for you, Lisa, helpourmarriage.com. Helpourmarriage.com. I think it's also a website for Retrovi, and they have an incredible success rate. So check that out if you're having difficulty in your marriage. Orland, Pennsylvania. Ann, thank you for dialing in. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Thanks so much for taking my call, and God bless your ministry. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ann.
Would you please, and would everyone listening, pray for Mark Halk, whose trial is supposed to wind up today? I don't really know the latest news, but if we could just pray for God's holy will to be done in that trial. Pray for the judge that he can hear and see what is good and true, and for Mark's family.
Yeah, such an important message. And my understanding was that I think the defense today filed for dismissal, and I think we're going to get some information coming up soon. We don't know what's going to happen right now. We'll see what happens with Mark, but let's continue to pray. That was a horrible situation. And I'm going to pray for you too, Ann. I appreciate your prayers. But the prosecution and the defense gave fiery opening statements. I guess it was earlier. I think it was earlier this week. And again, if you're not familiar with the story, it's a federal government's case against a pro-life advocate, a father who was out and his kid was harangued or harassed by this abortion clinic worker, and he defended his child. He ended up, you know, getting raided in the middle of the night, guns drawn by the police, cuffed and drug in, and he was charged with, I think, violating the FACE Act. And one of Halk's daughters was crying in the arms of her mother in the courtroom as they see their father could potentially do 9 years. And the room was filled with supporters of the family, several who were praying the rosary. And I think he's going to be okay because there's been so much prayer. The defense argued that the charges against him should never have been made. And right now we will pray for mercy in that case. Let's pray for an end to the culture of death. Let's pray for that pregnant mother right now thinking about entering those abortion clinics. And I want to pray for the mother and the father who made the mistake of having that abortion. I want you to know God loves you and his mercy is greater than the greatest sin. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Now we'll go to Brownsville, Texas next. Oh, before I get Ophelia on, Maggie, what is coming in? What can we pray for?
Drew, Cindy wrote to us, I think she went on pilgrimage with you this past fall. She said, awesome. Drew, my leg is broken from a spill that I had yesterday. Please pray for rapid healing because I'd really like to be able to go on pilgrimage this year again.
Yeah.
Jesus, I trust in you. Angela wrote to us, and she had listened to the previous segment with Father Philip. She says, prayers for my son and all who struggle with same-sex attraction and substance abuse. Saki wrote to us and said, prayers for my husband Carl recovering from double lumbar spinal fusion. Still in the ICU. This is his third day. Thank you, Drew. Signed, Carl's wife, Saki. Carrie asks for prayers for her mother who's terribly sick with an infection in her eye and not being able to see, as well as having an abscess infection on her leg. Oof. Please include her name, Ernestine, in the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Thank you so much. John says, prayers for all the people and pets without homes or shelter, those without adequate heating, and especially as the weather dips colder again. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
And lastly, you might remember this one, Drew. We prayed for this last week. Carrie says, I want to thank you all for praying for my intention last week. God gave us clear direction that I was seeking. We're off to a new place in just over a week.
Yay.
Also, just hours after praying the chaplet last Thursday, Penny the potbelly pig is back home.
Oh,
is back home safe.
That's hilarious. That is so great.
I know.
I love it. You know why? Because God answers big prayers and he answers little prayers. You can pray for the pet, the lost keys. You can pray for whatever you want. God will hear those prayers. That's great. That was a great answer prayer. I remember that. I remember that intention. That's awesome. Well, let's give the Lord our intentions. I know we all have big ones, right? We all have these major ones that we're asking God for, but we also have those little ones too. You can ask him for anything. Ask him for anything. And don't hold back. Don't limit God. You know, I'll have to share a story with you that happened to me not long ago. I was just talking to the Lord, and I gave him a checklist of what I wanted, right? I mean, I literally gave him a checklist. And I didn't do it in an arrogant way. I was just saying, Lord, here's what I'd really like. And I went, boom, 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 boom. And the Lord gave me everything I asked for. I didn't realize it at first, but several months later, he answered my prayer. And I looked back and I said to my wife, I said, oh my gosh, Kathy, I asked the Lord for this, this, and I went boom, boom. And I went down the list with her. I said, I can't believe how he answers prayers. He hears your prayers. Speak from the heart and ask him for anything. As I often say, hold out a big cup, ask big. Why limit God, right? He's the creator of the universe. You know, he promised, he said the full scene, I'll create a whole new world for you. What does he want to do for you? He loves you just as much. Ophelia in Brownsville, Texas. Thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. I would like to pray for my friend and also my colleague. She has her husband with a cancer tumor on the neck, inoperable. He's been receiving cancer treatments for a while now.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it hasn't gotten better.
Yeah.
Now he's having a difficulty eating, and so his name is Rick de la Garza. You would please pray for a miracle.
All right, let's do it. We'll pray for that miracle, Philly. I want to pray for you and all your personal needs. We'll pray for Rick. We'll pray for all those battling cancer. This is a scourge. I pray for those with COVID. I pray for those in critical care, but I do pray for those in the fight of their life with degenerative diseases. Now, I just ask for your miracle, for your mercy, and I pray for miracles. Heavenly Father, hear these prayers. Hear these cries. I pray on behalf of all those who really need to see your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Amelia. And Cindy, I'm praying for you, by the way. I forgot to follow up on Maggie's intention for that fall you had. I want to pray for anyone. Some bad weather, some unbelievably frigid temperatures are going to be moving across the country. Cindy, I'm praying for you. I hope you can travel with me to Italy. I think it's going to be a great, great experience. Amelia in San Jose, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I called many times about my alcoholic son, and he's finishing his two-month rehab treatment. Coming home Sunday.
Praise God.
I'm praying that he'll be able to find, yes, praise God. Just I'm praying now that he'll be able to get housing close to his job. He works out of town. In order for him to get keep it with his job, he needs, you know, a place to stay. And also pray for a good friend of mine, Johnny. He had bypass surgery. He's lived in Arizona, and now he has compromised heart issues. So if you could please pray for Johnny. They're very giving, generous people.
Well, we'll pray for Johnny right now, all those who are recovering from surgery and from heart problems, cardiac issues. Preserve our hearts and heal the broken heart and the sick heart right now, the wounded heart, and those who are having these cardiac issues. But I want to pray for your son, too. I want to pray for any parent who's got a child that is dealing with addiction. I just ask, Lord, you show them mercy. Give them hope. Show them some shimmers of light. And I do pray for those. And I give you thanks for hearing our prayers. Your son's coming out of 2 months in rehab. That's fantastic. For new beginnings, for fortification, for protection against the wickedness and the snares of the evil one, and for those temptations that may lead him back into that behavior. I just pray that for all who struggle in similar ways as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll try to squeeze a few extra calls in if I can here. Bonita is praying in Oakland, California. Hi, Bonita.
Hi, thank you, Drew. I'm on my way to an appointment for senior housing. I've been on the list for this HUD supported housing for 5 years, and I'm just going to my interview now. So if it's God's will, you know, I think I should move now before I get too old to move, and because I have a limited income. So, or either this or a Catholic retirement home, whatever is God's will, I don't know.
Well, let's pray for you right now. Perfect time to go to that meeting. And I'm so glad you got through, Bonita. Let's pray right now. Lord, I bring your daughter to you. And I ask that you illuminate her mind, convict her heart, give her the discernment that she needs. And Bonita, I often say that the two lungs that breathe the will of God for you are peace and joy. You'll know you have the right decision when you do that. Shouldn't take credit for it. One of our great fathers, you know, church fathers actually said that, not me. But pray. You know, we'll pray right now for you that you make the right decision and that you have all the wisdom that you need as you move forward, and those who encounter you will see all the wonderful qualities that God has placed in you. I want to pray also for Susie, who was just diagnosed with lymphoma, is having surgery coming up on Tuesday. And Glenn Leverance, thank you for sending that petition over. He's our morning show guy and longtime friend of mine in this network. We're praying for you too, Glenn, and he wants us to pray for healing and peace for Susie. So we will certainly do that. Mike is in Farmington, Minnesota. Farmington, excuse me. Mike, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Drew. I would love to pray for my wonderful state of Minnesota and the debate that's raging on for the unborn. And we just beg for God's mercy upon this great state. And please turn the hearts of some of these voters and help us limit the abortions here.
You got it. It's funny. I love it. I hear the celestial bells going off in the background. We will certainly pray for the state of Minnesota and for the Senate bill. Look, this stuff is so serious. You know, when one part of the body suffers, the entire body suffers. You think, oh, I live in California, I live in Texas, I live in Philly, you know. We've got to pray as if though this is in our backyard. And when it comes to life, I mean, the sin against life in this country calls down the justice of God. And you and I, with our prayers right now, we hold it back and we invoke his mercy. And Lord, I just ask for mercy on the state of Minnesota, on all of our state legislatures who now are grappling with these issues of life. And I just ask for your mercy. Don't look at our sinfulness, our errant ways. Rather, look at the sacrifice and the prayers of your faithful. Mike, thank you for the beautiful prayer. I want to pray for you as well. We'll go to Montello, Wisconsin next. Karen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for a friend of mine who's got a lot of health issues in her family, and also my family also who have health issues going on. So I pray to the Lord.
Amen. Well, you got it. I want to pray for you, for your friends, your families, the elderly, those who are visually challenged, for all those who are on hold right now, Monica and Arcelli and Michael and Tom and Virginia and Amelia and Katrina and Mike and Frank and Megan, and the list goes on. I lift you all up. I lift everyone who's written and everyone who's now united with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. Read our hearts. In your mercy, answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, send your prayer intentions in. I send it to Maggie on our Twitter or on our homepage. Send me your answered prayers. It's drew@relevantradio.com. Mark an answered prayer or praise report. I want to share them. And tell one other person. I keep saying it's so important. Just one other person to join us every day. Our prayer community grows. The power of our voice gets amplified. And I know God is going to delight. And you'll be blessed for spreading his mercy. I've got to take a short pause. When I come back, I'll talk more. I want to share a story. I was thinking a lot about confession, and I keep remembering the story about Padre Pio. It's a cool one. You may never have heard it. But if you have not been to confession in a long time, stay with me. I think you'll appreciate it, all right? And don't forget, I'm heading to Italy. Please join me, okay? It's relevantradio.com/Italy. Get all the details. Be some of the first to sign up, okay? I'll try to give you an update later, okay? Be right back.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
Pray more, worry less. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I love that. Pray more, worry less. Pray hope and don't worry, right? Pray hope and don't worry. Those were powerful words, actually a secret that Padre Pio gave to everyone. And I say pray hope and don't worry. I also, kind of my own take on it, pray hope and trust, right? Trust and not worrying, not quite the same thing, but they do go hand in hand, don't they? I want to share a little bit with you about Padre Pio, a man who had amazing gifts. Before I do, just a quick reminder, and I do want to invite you. One of the places we're going to go, actually, is to Padre Pio's. We're going to go to San Giovanni Rotondo. It's a beautiful place. I remember one day my wife and I were in Italy, right? And I was actually, I wanted to do an interview with a man who personally knew Padre Pio, one of his fellow friars. It was for some piece I was working on. I don't know whether it was some documentary or some little television bit. I forget what it was. But I was there, and I was going to shoot this myself. I was going to go ahead and shoot this myself and do the audio and take it back with me. And, we were in Rome, my wife and I, and we got up really early to drive, and we were so tired. We pulled over at a rest stop and fell asleep, right? And we said, let's recline the seat just for a minute. Because, I mean, it was like we had to be in San Giovanni Rotondo really early. And I forget how long of a drive it was, 3 hours or whatever it was from Rome. So about an hour and a half of this trip, I could barely hold my eyes open. And I was driving. I had rented a car. And I said, okay, well, let's shut our eyes for about 10 minutes, and we'll get an espresso or a cappuccino, and we'll take off. So we recline our seats. Tick, tick, tick. The time just zipped by. I opened my eyes. It's like 2 hours later, probably. My wife, too. I mean, we're probably battling jet lag or something. We were both totally out. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be late, you know? So we had a quick get up. We took off, got to San Giovanni Rotondo to do this interview with the friar. And he finally, somebody goes to get him and comes to the front door. You're late. And I said, yeah, we're really sorry. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Click, shut the door on me. I was never able to interview this guy. Never. It was my first encounter in San Giovanni. And I thought, Padre Pio, come on, what are you doing, right? You know, and so often he'd intercede. There were stories of him where he would celebrate Mass, and there was a woman in town who would come and bring bread to him, right? And whatever it was that she needed for his breakfast. And she came in and realized as Padre Pio was putting his vestments on, she'd forgotten the bread that he's going to need for breakfast as soon as Mass enters. And she lived a long way away. So she figured, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll go back home. I won't go to Mass this morning. I'll get the bread that he needs or whatever the substance was. I don't exactly remember. And she left. She came back. It took her like an hour, hour and a half. His Masses were really long. Padre Pio would get lost in the celebration of the Mass. They take up to 2 hours in some case. She came back and was going to leave this in the sacristy for Padre Pio. And she walks into the sacristy. Padre Pio is where she left him. Time had stopped, and he was putting his vestments on, ready to begin Mass. She not only was somehow able to traverse time and space, she got the bread, returned, she was able to participate in Mass. No explanation for this at all. But how do you explain a man who can bilocate, right? Who could be at two locations at once? How can you be where you are listening to me right now, and at the same time, thousands of miles away, hundreds of miles away, visible to others? It defies the laws of physics and of science. God is the author of those. He could suspend them. And that's what happens in the case of these great mystics. Pio bled profusely, had the wounds of Jesus Christ. And he had this profound gift in the confessional. I'll share a story with you because it always struck me. I want to go to Mass tomorrow. I said to my wife, let's both go tomorrow. And as I was driving in the studio, I was praying my rosary, and I was thinking about this encounter. And before I tell you the story, one of the things we will do too, and when you do go to San Giovanni, I went back there with Father Rocky another time and spent time praying. We had Mass in the chapel. The Padre Pio said his Mass, and we also went ahead and were able to see the confessional. Pio had his, went ahead and said his confessions in and his room. And I'll tell you, it's really an enchanted place to pray. If you are praying for conversion for somebody, right? If you are away from the faith for a long time, this is the place to go. I really pray for that son or for that daughter that you're praying for right now to come back to God and entrust them to Padre Pio. He is such a powerful, powerful intercessor in that area. I hope you'll join me on this pilgrimage. I mean, you can get all the information by going to relevantradio.com/nativity. It's relevantradio.com/nativity. I'm going in September, and I think we're going to be there. Padre Pio's feast day is September 23rd. My son was born on the feast of Padre Pio on September 23rd. So I always remember his birthday. I remember Padre Pio. And I often pray for that particular son by turning to Padre Pio. I say to him, hey, Pio, come on, brother. Need a little help here, right? So Padre Pio will intercede. I mean, I thought about how powerful they were while they were alive. Think about how powerful these saints who interceded for so many are now that God has called them home. I mean, it's just absolutely extraordinary. But we will go to San Giovanni Rotondo, and we will, we're going to have Mass there. We're going to pray there. It's going to be just an extraordinary day. You'll be at the St. Padre Pio's tomb. I saw him when he looked like he was incorruptible. I don't think he's an incorruptible now, but you should have seen him when they had him in a glass coffin. And I don't know whether it's still there or not. But we'll pray in the very church where he received the wounds of Christ and where he had his confessional. So again, relevantradio.com/Italy. Check out all the details. Join me. The trip's going to fill up quickly. They're going to limit it. So, you know, you'll probably end up on a waiting list, but it gives you time to save too. September's a good time away. Here's a phone number for you. You can call. It's 832-406-7050. Grab a pen or open your phone, jot this number down, and call Nativity and ask them where we're going, what we're doing. They're going to give you all the information. We're going to be in first-class hotels. There'll be two meals a day. We got professional guides. There's a round-trip airfare included. Sightseeing and admission fees are all covered. It's a good trip. Food is going to be off the hook. It's going to be incredible. Telephone number again, 832-406-7050. Call now. Reserve your spot, okay? Tell them, hey, I'm interested and I want to go. 832-406-7050. Let me share one quick story with you, though, about Padre Pio. And I've got another one, too. You know me, I'm a storyteller. I love these stories. They inspire me. Well, there was a priest by the name of Father Parrino, right, who actually told the story. He's the eyewitness. I mean, Padre Pio wouldn't be telling these stories. And he said one day Padre Pio was at confessional, and he was hidden behind these two curtains. You'll see them, right? The curtain of the confessionals, that for some reason, they weren't closed all the way. They were a little bit separated. And the priest could see Padre Pio. He could look through and he could see him in the confessional. And the men following somebody entered the confessional. There were people in the front row. People would line up for distance to come and to be with Padre Pio. And he says, the priest says, he saw all these people lined up in a single row, and he says, where I was reading the breviary, and I looked up, and I saw Padre Pio, and from this little church to the door, a man came in, and he was really handsome. He says, I was struck by that. You ever see a guy, like I'm a dude, right? I can appreciate feminine beauty, right? But I can also, appreciate masculine beauty. You see a really handsome guy, you say, wow, that guy is really good looking, right? He's a handsome guy, right? He's got really, well, that's what happened with this guy. He walked in, and it was like he was off the charts, good looking, movie star, rock star, handsome, right? This guy was something else. And he says, he was so handsome. And he says, I was really struck by his eyes. He had this grizzled hair. He had these black eyes. And he had this dark jacket and precise trousers. He says, I didn't want to distract him. So I just kept reading my breviary. But I looked up and I saw him go in. And I heard an internal voice. And he said, look up. Stop. Look up. So I stopped and I looked up and I looked at Padre Pio. Well, that man, while taking footsteps back and forth without waiting his turn, stopped just in front of the confessional. And after the previous penitent went away, he immediately entered, went into the curtains, he cut in front of the line. And standing, he didn't kneel, he stood up in front of Padre Pio. Then I didn't see the dark-haired man after a moment. Following a few minutes, I saw that man sank on the floor with his legs widened. And on the chair in the confessional where Padre Pio had been sitting, I didn't see Padre Pio anymore. I saw somebody else. I saw Jesus. And he says he was blonde. That's how he described him. He says he was blonde. He was young. He was handsome. And he gazed upon this man who fell on the floor. And then again, I shook my head, and I saw Padre Pio coming up from there. This man got out of the confessional, and he took a seat in his place, and his appearance melted with Jesus' appearance. Then I saw Padre Pio, and immediately I heard this voice, "Hurry up, everyone. Hurry up. Nobody notices this happening." And everybody started their turn again. It's as if the time had stopped for this man who went in there. He had such a profound conversion. And this wasn't the only time that things changed, but this story struck me for this reason. And I've got to take a really quick break. Over and over again, we hear these accounts of Christ manifesting in the confessional, right? Transforming. Sometimes people have the opportunity to encounter that. Father Perino, Saul, Padre Pio become, for some reason, Jesus. But isn't that what Jesus told St. Faustina? That I am only hidden by the priest. He's a mere screen, right? Faustina saw Christ like that as well. Let me take a break. When I come back, I'll share with you another story Padre Pio had with a tall, handsome man who was very refined, who walked into the confessional. A very different ending to this story, though. Stay with me. That when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. You know, there, another day, I'll share with you the secret Vatican files that Pope Benedict XVI opened, and they revealed a lot about Padre Pio. It's a whole other story for you. A fascinating figure. He was thoroughly investigated, and he had phenomena that defied the laws of science. Sometimes Padre Pio's gifts, of course, how do you lose a pint of blood a day carrying the wounds of Christ? How do you read souls? How do you prophesy accurately in the future? How do you hear? How do you heal? And ultimately, let's say, restore the blind, right? And restore missing legs or eyes. When they took his temperature times, he'd have temperatures as high as 118 degrees. And you're saying, Drew, that's impossible. He'd be dead. And I know. I'm not saying that. He had fevers of 109.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Then 113 degrees. I'll have to share that story with you, too. It was crazy how bizarre his body was in terms of what it was able to do. But beyond all the gifts of bilocation and levitation and reading souls and all this, I mean, Padre Pio got lost in the Mass. He relived the crucifixion. He was there on Calvary. And the same thing in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. When you go to Mass, when you go to confession, know that Jesus is truly present there. Know that he is. This priest one day gave an example of how much Satan hates confession. And I know you might have been there in a while. Maybe it's been a week. Maybe it's been a couple weeks. Maybe it's been a couple years. You know, every time you want to go, something comes up, or you make an excuse, or you say you're going to go the next day, or suddenly the sin that you knew it was so wrong no longer seems so bad. You figure, it was a while ago. God forgives me. Right? This is kind of the rationale that people use in their heads. Satan knows how liberating, how powerful, and how freeing the sacrament of reconciliation is. It's his enemy. It's his mortal enemy. He's got you cuffed, right? He's got you bound. He owns you when you're in sin. You walk into that confessional, those cuffs come off. You are liberated. You are set free. You belong to Jesus Christ, right? This priest said one day, Padre Pio was having confession, and he was hearing the confession of a man who, like this other guy, was very tall, very handsome. He's dressed with refinement, very polite. And he goes in and makes a confession, right? He goes in there and, bless me, Father. You know, and he started to confess his sins, and they were all kinds. And I never forget the story. These sins were so varied. Now, you go in, you might have a small window of sins that you confess. These in particular were against God, right? They were against man. They were against morals. And they were obnoxious. That was the one thing he said. They were disoriented, was the word that the priest used. In fact, for all the sins that he said, Padre Pio said that he said, Pio would respond to him with God's words. He would use scripture. Now, that's interesting to me because Christ did the same thing, right? When he was tempted in the garden by the evil one, what did he do? He took the word of God and he used it as a sword against the evil one. So this penitent would respond word for word, and he would be able to justify his sins. He was very eloquent, very, very eloquent. He always had this ability with such eloquence and politeness, I guess, to make whatever that egregious sin against God and morals was to sound justifiable, right? He excused all that sinful stuff, all those actions, made him sound normal, made him seem very natural, right? Even, I don't know, comprehensible on a human level. So he continued this way with his sins, and they became more gruesome as he went on, more gruesome against God, and then Our Lady, and then the saints, always using a very disrespectful roundabout argument. He kept this up even with the foulest of sins that were against God. The foulest things you could conjure up. And, you know, I won't belabor this particular point, but the answers he gave, Padre Pio said, were always very skilled and subtle, and they sometimes surprised him. And Pio said, what world does he come from? He tried to look at him in order to read something on his face. And then he closed his eyes and he says he concentrated on every word that the man spoke, trying to discover a clue to his identity. But suddenly, he says, through a very vivid, radiant, and internal light, he recognized who he was. And with a sound and an imperial tone, Padre Pio said to him this. He says, say, long live Jesus, long live Mary. And as soon as Pio commanded him to say that, as soon as he pronounced those sweet, very powerful names, the penitent disappeared because it wasn't a human. It was Satan. He disappeared, they say, in a trickle of fire, leaving behind him what was described as an unbearable stench. Now, Don Perenino is a priest, and he was one of Father Pio's spiritual sons who was present during this. And look, these guys saw all sorts of crazy stuff, right? Pio in the confessional, you know, encounters with the demonic. These guys would have knocks on their friary door from purgatorial souls who would come back to thank Padre Pio for the masses he offered on their way to heaven. There was one time a group of men were in the house, and one of the friars came up and said, who let these guys in? And he went to Pio, Pio, these guys say they're here for you. And yeah, I don't know who let them in. He goes down, and they were souls seeking his prayers. So Padre Pio is an extraordinary figure. You know, and these men and many of these women, these people who exhibit these mystical, these incredible gifts, spiritual gifts, supernatural gifts, they're a gift to us from heaven. They really are. And it was not that long ago that Padre Pio died. It really wasn't. I am looking forward personally to going and to praying with him, to being able to go to San Giovanni Rotondo. And again, I want to circle back to that because this is one of the highlights of the trip. You know, we're going to go to Rome, and you know, I know many people have been to Rome. Maybe you've seen the basilicas there, St. Mary Major. In St. Mary Major, they actually have the crib that Jesus was laid in the manger. They actually have that in Mary Major, one of the major basilicas over there. You can, in Rome, walk up the holy stairs. Maybe you've never gotten to Israel. They actually had transported to Rome the very steps that Christ walked up on his way to be condemned to death and hang on a cross. The tradition is you walk up on them on your knees, and I did it, and I'll tell you what, it was agonizing. I recommend it, but I don't recommend it. I mean, it was really quite painful. But we'll see those. Of course, we'll see the Colosseum and the Pantheon and, you know, Trevi Fountain and the Spanish Steps and Piazza Navona and so many of those other wonderful places. But the things that I am really going to love is going to these places where some of these mystics, like Padre Pio and St. Francis of Assisi, who's another stigmatic, received that special encounter with the Lord. And, of course, the highlight of this trip is these Eucharistic sites that we're going to visit. We're going to go to Lanciano, where the consecrated host turned to human flesh and the consecrated wine turned into human blood. You'll go to Ofedo, another site of a Eucharistic miracle. We're going to go to St. Michael's Cave. You'll go to Monte Cassino, where St. Benedict was. We're going to go to Sorrento, where you'll have the best limoncello you've ever had. I mean, I love Sorrento. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. We'll go to Montepello. It's a place where they have a veil that's supposed to cover the Lord's face, and you can see his face in this veil. So an amazing thing. I've got to leave it there. I'm going to give you an update on Monday as to where we stand on the trip. I just want to make sure you don't miss it. If you want to join us, September 18th through the 28th, it's an 11-day trip, 10, 11 days. And you can get information by going to Nativity Pilgrimage. No, I'm sorry, relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy. Nativity is the one that's coordinating this and putting it on. And you can call them at this number, 832-406-7050. 832-406-7050. You can go to, as I said, relevantradio.com/Italy. There is a little click there for a brochure. Download the brochure. It's got all the info on it and some of the places we're going to see, but you know, more to talk about. But I'm looking forward to San Giovanni. It's a powerful place to pray. It is a powerful place to intercede for your loved ones. So join me on this Eucharistic revival pilgrimage to Italy in September. Okay, relevantradio.com/Italy for all the deets. A little later in the hour when I come back, I want to talk about Adolf Hitler and an encounter he had with the dark side. Stay with me.